Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Today we continue with a series on prayer. Prayer being communication with God in all of its forms, from prayers of petition, asking for help for yourself or others, to seeking God and ultimately even a kind of a union with God in a mystical sense, contemplation. Deeper prayer, prayer of the heart, meditation, contemplation, moving toward communion with God. Prayer begins with our simple turning to God and then awaits God acting, God's presence. As I've been saying, prayer is actually an interactive event. It's a joint effort between us and God. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. God prays in you and me as well as our seeking to pray to, with, and in God. You know, we each have our own prayer path, way to God. You have to discover it. God will teach us how to pray. God will teach you how to pray. You just need to give it time. It's good to do it to pray with a group as well as individuals, as well as an individual, being yourself, and to learn to traverse prayer slowly over time, kind of like walking a labyrinth, if you've ever walked a labyrinth. The end is assured if you just stay on the path. You know, it's circuitous. You'll be close to the center and then far and then close and then far. And that's the way it seems to be often with our relationship with God. But if you stay on the path, you'll get where you're going. You'll get to God in the end. Your thought process in prayer isn't going to gain you entrance really into a sense of the presence of God, which is very important if that's what you're seeking. It is your heart which must lead you. Your heart knows the way as well as the way of God, the way to as well as the way of God. Our job is to learn how to listen. Listening is very important. Your own prayer path is already imprinted in your heart by God at the moment of your birth, when God generated you through speaking you. Exactly how, of course, is understood only by God. There's really one special way for you to God, one narrow gate through which your heart will guide you. The key to heaven's opening is the desire of your heart. That's really what it's all about. Just as if you've been in a time and place where your heart sought romantic love, you had to listen to your heart as well as your head. So the path to God in prayer begins with a simple desire, a desire for God, a hunger, a thirst, for that which really nothing's going to satisfy you for very long other than God. Always a gentle prompting of your heart will say, there's got to be something more, something else. The truth is, it could take you decades to finally realize that nothing in this temporary, beautiful, incredible abode, this world, will in the end satisfy the deeper longing of our hearts. So, meditation, I'm going to talk about different kinds of prayer this morning, is what you do, as we'll see, aided by the Spirit. Contemplation is what God does, when God draws you into an immediacy, which is really beyond words and our mind's grasp, but not our hearts. Probably one of the most important shifts when you're praying is when you cease talking and begin listening to God. For as I said last time, God will speak to you. God will address you through six entryways of prayer, God will affect your thoughts, help you to think new things that's kind of anointed by God. Your imagination, you'll find yourself imagining something that God is involved in and somehow speaking to you about. Your will, God will affect your will, helping you to discover new desires or to have a greater will or passion for God. Your feelings, God can change our feelings if we give him a chance, from dark ones, which God will dissipate, to bright ones, which will dawn. Hope, good things. Memory, you'll find yourself remembering past moments when God was there that will increase your faith. And then intuition, which is very difficult to describe. It's kind of the vision of the heart, the eyes and ears of your heart. You have a direct sense of God's presence. That's how intuition works. Just sort of like a loved one, a child, a spouse, a parent, a friend. You know that person not just from physical attributes, but there's something about the person that you intuit, you discern that this is really so-and-so. So it is with God. Beginning to pray, we're going to do some exercises, however strange it may sound on the radio to try to do prayer exercises, we're going to attempt to do a few this morning. I want to begin with just the idea of turning to God. Simple as that. To turn to God with your whole being. How do you do that? Well, think about being out in the sun. I know we had an eclipse here recently. I wasn't able to see very well, but I've talked to people who went down to Missouri or other places, Illinois, to see the eclipse. It's magnificent. Well, they turned their whole beings to the sun, didn't they? Hopefully they had the glasses on that protected them. Turning their whole being to the sun. I have never been a sun worshiper. I get a sunburn before I ever get a suntan. And I lived in Florida for 5 years, a long time ago, in Clearwater. Beautiful beaches. People would just be out there soaking in the sun. Well, you can use that as an image to turn to God, like basking in the sun, the warmth, the bright, just as the sun surrounds your body, penetrating into your body so the sense of the presence of God, albeit gentle, can penetrate into your soul and your whole being. And at that point, it doesn't matter what you're thinking, whether you have diverting thoughts or feelings away from your attending to the sun, attending to God, because you have the sense you're still in the sun. You can let light and warmth fill all that you are. So that's a beginning. That's the kind of thing that Brother Lawrence did, practicing the presence of God. It didn't matter whether he was cleaning up the kitchen, mopping. He felt closer to God at that point, reflecting on God, simply turning to God with his heart and soul. You don't have to say anything. Maybe just God. In fact, that's another form of prayer if we get to today. We'll talk about a repetitive word or a mantra. So I want to turn to breathing exercises. I started that last time, and it's a great way to get into a prayer state, a meditative state, that from which you can derive peace and a sense of well-being. And I want to begin by reading from one of my favorite authors, Anthony DeMello. Father DeMello was one of the finest spiritual directors, prayer teachers of the 20th century, a Jesuit priest who was born and really raised in India. He wrote this, among the books he wrote, this sadhana, which means a discipline, a way to learn how to pray. So let me just read this a very brief section about prayer. One theory is that prayer is an exercise that brings fulfillment and satisfaction, and it is perfectly legitimate to seek these from prayer. Another is that prayer is to be made less with the head than with the heart. In fact, the sooner it gets away from the head and from thinking, the more enjoyable and the more profitable it is likely to become. Most priests and religious equate prayer with thinking. That is their downfall. A Jesuit friend, I like this, a Jesuit friend once told me that he approached the Hindu guru for initiation into the art of prayer. The guru said to him, "Concentrate on your breathing." My friend proceeded to do that for about 5 minutes. Then the guru said, "The air you breathe is God. You are breathing God in and out. Become aware of that and stay with that awareness." My friend, after mentally making a slight theological adjustment to that statement, followed these instructions for hours on end, day after day, and discovered to his amazement that prayer can be as simple a matter as breathing in and out. And he discovered in this exercise a depth and satisfaction and spiritual nourishment that he hadn't found in many, many hours he had devoted to prayer over many years. Wow. So let's turn to some breathing exercises. I've done this a number of times with students at Muscatine Community College, teaching a course on world religion. I've done breathing exercises with retreatants at New Mellory Abbey. It's very effective, and it's so simple it's almost comical. So you don't have to necessarily change how you're breathing. It's just becoming aware of your breath. Because when you begin to pray, there are always going to be thoughts, since the mind never ceases thinking. And what you do is, rather than to try to fight yourself, don't think, have no thoughts, you can't do that. It's like the exercise, don't think of a white elephant. What do? Immediately you think of a white elephant. Don't think of it. Good luck with that. Okay, so the idea of meditation is learning to just let go. Let go of your thoughts, because you don't have to focus on your thoughts. And breathing and focusing on your breath is a really helpful way of letting go of your thoughts. Focusing on your breath. Breathing in, breathing out. You don't have to change the way you breathe. One focus is simply to breathe in the spirit and breathe out surrender. Surrender includes your resistance to God. Just stop, just for a 5 minutes, a 10 minute, just breathe in the spirit. Breathe in God and breathe out resistance. Breathe in God and breathe out resistance. And I want to do three different exercises, or at least talk you through three different exercises dealing with breathing. Although it's kind of difficult here, so I will have this show on my website later today, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. So this show will be on if you'd like to hear it again and maybe practice some breathing exercises to see what kind of a place you can end up finding yourself in, a really good place with greater peace and a sense of God's reality. And I want to talk about three of the greatest gifts of the Spirit: faith, hope, and love. Paul teaches, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. These are the greatest gifts of the Spirit. So if the gifts of the Spirit, you can pray to God to increase your faith, increase your hope, and increase your love. So we're going to do that right after we have a short break for the weather. Okay, we're back. Breathing exercises, or breath prayers, they're also called, assist us to enter into a kind of a gentle and peace-producing state of prayer. You focus on your breathing and let God do the work. You simply permit thoughts and other possible interferences or interruptions to pass around you while you remain attending and attentive to what is before you, inhaling and exhaling, where each step is loaded with subtle spirit-enhanced meaning. Okay, we begin with faith. Faith is a gift of God, so what you want to focus on here, and you'll have to do this on your own, is to breathe in faith and to breathe out doubt. It's that simple. Don't tell me you can't do that. Sure, you can do that. Breathe in faith. You can take that risk. Let in the Spirit's gift of faith, the peace-bearing faith, which is composed of belief and trust. And when you breathe out, let out doubt, darkness, fear, mistrust. Be filled with the fullness of God's faith. As Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Breathe in faith. Fill your lungs with the gift of faith. Just for a minute, imagine what it would be like to have nothing but pure faith. Jesus also said, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This is from Mark 11. Faith. Increase our faith, like the man said to Jesus before Jesus healed his daughter, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Take that risk of just what it would be like to breathe in pure faith. You can do that. It's a gift of God. Turn to God, breathe in faith, and when you breathe out, just let go of doubt. You do that for a while, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to discover greater faith than you've ever felt. All right. Second now is hope, another extraordinary gift from God, a gift to the Spirit, hope. I remember one time during a retreat when I had gotten bad news of a retreat at New Mellory, and I was very discouraged. And it was 11:45, and I was heading back from a walk into the chapel where there was a worship service going on. And just at a moment of despair, literally, I got a breath from God of hope. Pure, simple hope. I know it may sound really strange, but it's true. And I breathed in God's hope, and I felt better. All will be well. All will be well. Have faith and hope. You can breathe in hope and breathe out hopelessness, despair. Hope in God and in nothing or anyone else. Let God fortify your hope that above all and through all, the best is yet to be. Everything will be well eternally. Jesus came to deliver us from despair, disillusion, and hopelessness. So inhale, hope in God, and exhale, all doubt, darkness, fear, and despair, even depression. Breathe in hope. I'm reading now a couple of passages from Romans. Through Christ we have attained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. And that was from Romans 5, from Romans 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in hope. Breathe out hopelessness. Third, love. Yes, the greatest gift of all. Breathe in love and breathe out any hard-heartedness. Breathe in love, breathe out resistance. You know, as God says to the prophet Ezekiel, he will take out our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh so we can love again. Breathe in love, breathe out hard-heartedness. Let in the greatest of all God's gifts, God's very own love. We love because he loved us first. Let in God's love for you and love through you ultimately to others. In the end, love can only be freely received as a sheer gift. We don't ever deserve it, but it's there anyway. There is no greater or more necessary leap of faith than to receive, even to overflowing, this gift of God's love. It is only God's love which can empower our love for God and for others, including ourselves. So breathe in love and breathe out hard-heartedness. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he loved us first. So, you know, love is a letting go of fear. As you breathe in love, let go of fear as you breathe out. Well, these are three exercises, breathing exercises. If you could work on them, practice them 5 to 10 minutes a day, I guarantee you in a week, you'll notice a difference in the state of your spiritual life and your sense of well-being. It's wonderful. Well, I've got a few minutes remaining. I at least want to tell you about another form of prayer, which is the central prayer of monastic life for 1,500 years. It's called praying the scriptures. Let me just talk you through it and use an analogy and explain. Okay, so the idea is that scriptures aren't just to be read, but they're to be prayed. You can get into a dialogue with God through a passage of scripture, like what I was just reading from John 15, abide in me as I abide in you. You can just read that, or you can also pray it and imagine that Jesus is addressing you, and it can become real to you. Here's the basic idea, to use an analogy. Okay. Why do you go to a restaurant? Because you're hungry, right? Unless you're going to go with friends and you're not hungry, the reason you go to a restaurant is because you're hungry, you want to eat something. So prayer presupposes that you've got some kind of desire for something of God, from God, right? Hopefully to meet God, to have a sense of the presence and all that comes with that. So you go to a restaurant, what do? You take the menu, you receive a menu, and the first thing you do is read it. So just yesterday, my wife and I were with our friends, we had lunch together. And the first thing we did was look at a menu. We hadn't eaten lunch there before. So you look at the menu. That's reading. That's the first thing is reading. With a hunger to eat. Let's see. What sounds good and appealing? And as soon as something strikes you, you go to number two. There's four stages of praying the scriptures. First is reading. Second is meditation. That's when something strikes you And you begin to ruminate. You begin to imagine how it's going to taste. So I ordered a California hamburger yesterday, folks. But the Southwest looked pretty good, too. At that point, you're meditating. You're saying, what's really speaking to me? What does the text, or in this case, the menu, say to me? So third is when you order the meal. That's prayer. You actually order the food and engage in a conversation with the wait person. So finally, fourth is when the food actually arrives. It was a wonderful burger. It really was. That's called contemplation. When the food arrives and you actually begin to eat it, to taste it. So let me apply that to praying the scriptures. First, you read a passage of scripture. What does the text say? That's number one. Then something will strike you, right? And this, so the second, as soon as something strikes you, you begin to meditate, reflect. What is the text saying to me right now? What's really hitting me? You meditate about that. And then third is when you're praying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What is my heart saying to me that I really need to know about that? And finally, is letting go and letting God, resting in God, consenting to God's presence and action within. What is it that God is doing in and with me? So I would suggest that you meditate. The Psalms are very good. If you pick a favorite passage of scripture, I personally meditate all the time in John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I do something that I call abiding prayer, which maybe we'll get to in a future broadcast. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out at you, and I would much prefer to teach you in person. But praying the scriptures, try it. Just remember the analogy of ordering food, reading, meditating, prayer, and waiting for the food to arrive, for God actually to touch your life with, like, the sense of abiding, that God is around and within you. Well, I think I'm coming to the end of this show. This is the third time we've talked about prayer. I find it very difficult to talk about prayer on the radio because I'm used to teaching it with people who are actually there, and we can have the exercise, and then talk about it. God will teach you how to pray. That's what I want to say. Don't pray as you can't, pray as you can. Let God teach you how to pray, and give it time. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, I will have it on my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Or if you have any questions about prayer or religious life or God, please write me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. God bless you.